So let's just, where's my little meadowlark for the, just for the record, we should have video next week. I finally found what we found what we needed to get, so it'll be here this week sometime. So for those that like to do the, like to see what's going on as well as just here, really, it's funny because there's nothing that goes on. This is just in my room in my house. But we started off having a lot of people because it was a church service of the singing and the whole thing. And I miss that. I really do. There's a lot of things I miss that were good about the church, but you don't, you know, we know that we don't go back there for those things. That's, those are some of the addictive qualities of church that people can't get away from. So that's tough. But I tell you, when I realized how much they were lying and tricking, and when I knew what they did to my kids and my family, other people's kids and families now, I don't plan to ever cross another threshold of a church door again. So we'll just see where this all goes. Be nice if we get some going again, but the way things are going nowadays, the way people don't want to hear what they need to hear, and even the Paul guys are going to go down because of Romans 11:22 before the Lord comes back. The apostasy has to pretty much take over just about everybody. I'm not interested. No religion for me. I hope. Hope I don't make this into religion. You know, religion. Religion can make things appear to go right. And that's what seems to be most of our goals still. Like I said this morning, we're not serving the Lord. We're serving ourselves. And we think that if everything is going right in our lives, then it must be right. It must be godly. See, that's no different than these pastors that think the gain is godliness. We got more people coming to our church now. That means godliness. Don't forget, that can happen to us too. If everything is going right with our family, with our kids, with our jobs, with our health, with everything like that, that doesn't necessarily mean that's still gain. It doesn't mean that God's just blessing us. We know, Paul says, we're going to suffer persecution. We know that. We know that we're delivered from the wrath to come. We read that this morning. But we know that there's going to be some persecution. He says that. So let's not make that our goal for what church we go to, for how we do things at home. If everybody's happy, hunky, and dory, then there's a pretty good chance something's not right there in lots of ways. We can manipulate. Religion allows us to manipulate everything so much that it can go right. We got money, we got credit cards, we've got parental control, we've got earthly wisdom, we have enticing words, fair speeches, and good words and fair speeches. We have all that stuff. And we can make everything look like it's going right. And the scriptures, you pop open Paul, like I said last week, you bring in Paul and you're going to find out that these people that are teaching us these things are destitute of the truth, and the list goes on. So I encourage you to listen to the sermon from Wednesday night regarding these Jannies and Jambres, how these guys are doing miracles and signs and wonders in their churches and in their homes to make everything look right. Who cares what the scriptures say? And like I said this morning to somebody, I said, you know, you can find any verse in that Bible that'll teach any denomination, any religious funky teaching that's out there. But if you rightly divide this thing, it exposes them all. Except for Paul. Expose them all through Paul. There we go. There's our saying. So, I was just thinking of a verse here. It's in one of the Johns. Here it is, 3 John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that's a marvelous thing. The walking in truth today is walking Paul. So, this is all about serving the Lord this morning and tonight. And I hear people all the time, I've heard people all the time, they go to the Gospels, you know, they go to their books and they find out, they say that we're serving the Lord. We just want to serve God. We just want to do this at work. We want to do this at home. And so they're all lovey-dovey and huggy-wuggy and positive. The ladies are sweet and the men are gentle. And ladies run the home, run the ship, and the men are fine with it. And in fact, the ladies have read those books that show them how to lead the home with the husband thinking he's running the home. All this kind of stuff. And all we got to do is, let's look to Paul. And we'll see what it really is to serve the Savior. Serve the Lord, as they say. I'm fine with that. Let's look it up and let's see. So this morning, we went to the Gospels. And we read the verses that talk about serving God. And yet we saw very easily how we could go the way of God more perfectly. We can see how they were told to serve the Lord, serve Jesus, serve God in the Gospels. And we know that we read this morning in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the verses that say that Jesus taught the way of God. There's not a problem with that. But we saw in Acts 18, where now with Paul, we serve the way of God more perfectly. There's more to it. There's more finished work to it now. So we go beyond that. We can't serve the Lord based on the gospel anymore. We have to do it based on Paul's teachings. And we found the verses that talk about serving, and we expounded on them to show the fact that there is more to it now. The only way you get to understand serving true is to look at Paul's teachings. You're cutting it short by sticking to the Gospels. So, let's pick up kind of where we left off this morning, and let's go to, you get to now put, the sermon's online right now. I have to put the notes up later tonight. I will get them done probably the next day or so, if not even tonight. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 26. We'll kind of review what we left off with at the ending this morning. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Okay? Well, how do we look at that more the way of God more perfectly? Well, let him follow me. Okay, if we want to follow the risen Savior, and where I am, where is he? We know he's in us, but he's at the right hand of God's Father. He's risen. So if we're gonna want to serve the Lord, we need to serve the risen Lord. And how do we serve the risen Lord? Well, we follow Paul. 1 Corinthians 11. That's how this works. So, yes, we day-to-day life. We want to serve him in our jobs. We want to serve him as parents. We want to serve him with our music. We hear all these things. But what does that mean? What does that mean? We need to serve him based on Paul's teachings. Not the Gospels. Not Hebrews to Peter. Hebrews to James, to Jude. Not the Old Testament. We look at Acts chapter 6, verse 2. See, here's a verse that I see a lot of these guys claiming that they're serving the Lord. Acts 6, 2. This is still not Paul yet. Remember, everybody goes back to the Gospels for their church, goes back to the Gospels for their purposes, goes back to their Gospels for their preaching, and the Old Testament, and the Tribulation books. Here's a classic thing right here. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So as we're going to see here tonight, serving the Lord, the risen Savior, we have to make sure that us pastors and preachers and the evangelists and the few that there are, if any, preaching Paul, and missionaries, etc., don't get this high and mighty, we don't have to do the menial work around the church. That is you people's job. You know, serve tables. We don't do that. But see, that's the way it was then. These guys were doing what they had to do. They were preaching and teaching. And they were giving people their understanding because they didn't have a Bible yet. So I understand that. But this is where we get a lot of pride with people that say they're serving God. You know, here's a classic. And I understand the music thing. Probably more than I wish I did, I guess. Nobody really dares ask me anymore about music because I'm liable to just defunct their whole their whole performance. Oh, I didn't even to start this thing. Rats. Mark, are you getting this thing? Are you getting the recording here, Mark? Okay. I forgot to start mine up here. So about music, for example. We want to serve the Lord with our music. Well, how do we serve the Lord with our music? Paul doesn't talk very much about it, does he? He really doesn't. He talks about it in Colossians. He talks about it in Ephesians. But if we go to Philippians 4, 8, and 9, there is music out there that fits what 4, 8 says, Philippians 4, 8. And who knows what that music is? How do you determine that music? One of these days I'm going to do a sermon on Christian music. There's no such thing as Christian music. Music is music. It's either wrong or right. Clean or dirty. And there's mixture, there's gray music, but there's no such thing as Christian music. You can put Christian words to it, but does that still make it Christian music? Well, they seem to think that it does. No, it's how you play it. It's what you play. It's the music. And if you look at the words, that are in Christian museums. Very, very little is truth. Even a lot of the hymns, we've all been over this, even though a lot of the hymns we sing, there's verses, there's segments of verses, there's phrases, there's words that are not right. And we don't care because we like the music. And if we're happy with it, you know, we're happy that our kids would do hymns and Christian music, the good conservative Christian. We would be happy with that. We don't dare get into the fact that, you know, some of the hymns that they're singing and playing still aren't right. They're clean musically, but if they apply the words, check it out. So we shouldn't be doing that. And, you know, I mean, there it is. So you want to serve the Lord with your music? You serve it based on Paul's teachings. So what music would be considered? Philippians 4:8. That's the question. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, and a good report. You know? So, fix my microphone here a little bit. Okay, so the serving thing tonight. Let's see more and more what it is to serve God. And let's not get into a pride. Yes, I serve God with my music. I serve God with how I dress. I serve God with... We don't want to get a prideful attitude here. But we can learn tonight that we can serve God. We can really serve the Lord. We have to make sure we're serving the risen Lord, because if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. He's in me. He's in the right hand of God the Father. That's the Jesus that we're serving. And the only way we get that is from Paul. Now, if people could get a hold of one of my favorite chapters is Acts 27. So let's look at this serving thing tonight. Acts 27. This is Paul's shipwreck. One of my favorite stories. Because we have people that have their lives are being shipwrecked. And we have people whose lives are not shipwrecked. And the people whose lives are not shipwrecked seem to think that they're being blessed by God. And those people whose lives are shipwrecked, most people think they're less because they weren't serving God properly. Well, it could be the fact that many of these lives are shipwrecked because they are serving God properly. They just have to learn how to hang on as we get closer and closer to the tribulation. I like this little spot in Acts 27. This is the shipwreck of Paul. Fantastic story. Fantastic illustration about following Paul or not. And he says in verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo." Okay, so he got his direction. Paul got his direction from the angel of God there. Well, to us today, we get our direction from Paul, which is exactly what he said here in 17. Look at verse 21. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss." They you know, turn to Paul. So our angel of God is actually the King James Bible, rightly divided through Paul, led by the Holy Spirit. There's where we get our direction. There's where we learn to serve, because he says, whom I serve. So we're going to serve this book. We're going to serve a rightly divided Bible. We're going to serve Paul as our apostle. Basically, we're going to serve the risen Savior. We follow Paul the way he follows the risen Savior, and we get it from the King James Bible. We'll know how to serve God properly. But let's be careful that we don't get an attitude, because we are suddenly serving God so clean with our music, etc., etc. And I'll tell you, just for the sake of whatever it is, being a musician myself, it doesn't take long for a musician to develop a pride in their performance. They're playing the old hymns we're playing. We don't play the contemporary stuff. We can put some frills and trills in there. We can have a great time, and people are just wooed and awed by it. We can get people to come to the invitation, you know, back in invitation days. We can get people to cry. You can manipulate. I probably should do a whole thing on music here one of these days if anybody's interested. But you can manipulate people with your music to where they think that they're godly. You know, we just have that power. Music is universal language. Everybody responds to it. And you don't have to know anything about it, and you will still be manipulated by music. So we can be manipulated to serve the real Savior, the risen Savior, or again, the false teaching, the Antichrist. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 9. "For God is my witness." Just check and see if everybody's still there. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit, with my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. Two things in that thing about serving God, serving the risen Savior more perfectly. Well, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. We still have a spirit to deal with. That's why when the Star Spangled Banner comes on, and I listened to it the other night, you know, with a quartet singing it, and it was just marvelous. You know, it stirs your spirit. We listen to Sousa on our music before we turn the sermons, before we get to the sermons, because Sousa's music fits Philippians 4:8. By the way, if anybody doesn't know that yet, that's why when you pop on here, you hear these marches going on. It's clean stuff. The rhythm. You're going to have music for your flesh. Music is for the flesh, but it's the proper flesh beat. It's the proper rhythm. You've got harmonies, and you've got melodies, and they're all clean. And so, you want to call it Christian music? No, it's just clean music. It's music that fits Philippians 4:8. Now, that stirs our spirit. This march music stirs our spirit. It stirs our flesh to get going, and it stirs our mind. If we understand it, we just sit there and listen to these melodies going back and forth, two or three different melodies going on, how they all fit so well, and the harmonies are clean, clear, no dissonance involved. And the beat, the drum beat just pushes forward. We stir our spirit. When the flags come up, we start tearing off. We understand that this music was what America used to be. And it's not a fleshy thing. It's a spirit thing. It stirs our spirit. Is God pleased with it? I believe God is, because he says in Philippians 4:8, and I can prove without a doubt that music matches Philippians 4:8. So yeah, God's pleased with it. But besides that, so we can serve him with our spirit. We can serve him with our spirit. Then his Son. Okay, now what gospel of his Son are we following? Are we following Paul's gospel of his Son, or the Jewish gospel, the Great Commission, or the Greater Commission, as I call it? So there's our foundation. If we're going to serve the living Savior, we're going to read the living Savior, and we're going to hear from the living Savior. We're going to do it through Paul, and if we want to serve with our music, or with our dress, or with our job, or where we work, let's make sure that it follows Paul's teachings. That's simple enough, isn't it? No, I don't think it is to most people anymore. Anyway, here's one of the ways we serve the Lord. We pray. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. We're going to see here that one of the biggest things that we can do if we want to serve the risen Savior is to pray for each other. Not in a manner of power for prayer. Not in the manner that if somebody has something fixed in their lives, that your prayer is the reason you convince them. Well, talk about a way to get an attitude and a pride. Well, yeah, I prayed for that. You know, you tell somebody, well, man, I feel a lot better today. Well, I prayed for you last night. Well, thanks, you know. And that person thinks that the reason you got a headache is gone is because that person specifically prayed for you. Prayer warriors, those kind of people, boy, they get really prideful. You know, why don't you talk about the prayers that don't get answered? No, we just pray. He just says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. All the different things I know you folks have going on out there, I see cancer, I see operations, I see disappointment, I see hurt feelings, I see depression, I see super busy, I see family, it's all there. So we still need to pray. What do we pray for? The Holy Spirit knows what to pray for, so why should we pray? Because Paul tells us to. I don't know how to pray. Well, you don't know how to talk to somebody? Don't need some of these pretenseful, fancy little prayer things. We need a prayer book. And you don't have to stop and get on your hands and knees and make a big scene. You can pray driving to work. You can pray. So that's one of the ways of serving the Lord. I'm a prayer warrior. Well, be careful that you don't become prayer prideful. Power of prayer, that's a modern gospel teaching. There's not power in prayer. But you pray. Who do you think you are that you and your prayers can change God's mind? But he wants us to pray. Okay. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. We go through the whole chapter of Romans 6, and people need to realize that the first half of the chapter, when he asked that question, Romans chapter 6, where he asked the question, Should we continue in sin? That grace may abound? No. Well, he's not talking about our sinning. He's talking about in sin. We are no longer in sin. We are made free from sin. So the first half of that chapter is to show that we are no longer, we're freed from sin. Verse 7. It's not talking about sinning. Now the second half of the chapter does talk about things that we choose to do that we shouldn't do. So verse 15 sets it off. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Now we're talking about works. And we know that the works are not considered sin. Now they're considered bad works. And the works will burn, not us. What about the sin? We're dead to it. It's not an issue. We took care of the law. It's not an issue. Our issue now is the bad things and the good things that we do. Okay, but my point is this, is in verse 6, he says, henceforth, we should not serve sin. Okay, we're not serving sin anymore. It's that simple. We're not serving sin. Christ took care of that. He got rid of the sin, got rid of the law. However, in Romans 7, we see where he says in verse 17, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So see, we don't sin anymore. We do bad works. We do terribly bad works. But we don't sin. It's the sin that's in me that I'm following. Now we choose, according to the second half of Romans chapter 6, the second half says we are choosing to follow sin. But we are not serving sin. We are following it. Does that mean you're serving it? I suppose technically you could say that, but we're dead unto it. So it's actually the sin that's doing it, and it's getting us to follow. So yield your members, servants, to righteousness and to holiness. When you were the servants of sin, in verse 20, you were free from righteousness. But now, being made free from sin, you have your fruit unto holiness. Or we have our fruit unto burningness. It's going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ. And if people could get a grip on that thing, and not go down some strange little pathway, well, then you say that we don't sin. Well, we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. That's a bad work. It'll burn. But for you, it doesn't stop the fellowship between you and God. You want to stop fellowship with you and God? Quit reading your Bible. God isn't going to leave you. You're going to leave Him. Quit reading your Bible. So we are to yield ourselves unto God. Sin does not have dominion over us anymore. We're not under the law, but under grace, verse 14. Now we choose. So, we want to serve the Lord, okay? But most of the time, I think that we find ourselves serving ourselves. Because we're trying to do this to make us feel better. So let's not serve sin. Chapter 7, verse 6. More back to a positive one here. But now we are delivered from the law. It being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. You know how easy it is for people to take Paul's writings in Timothy and Titus and turn them into rules of do's and don'ts? Just no different than the Beatitudes, and no different than the Levitical law, no different than the Ten Commandments. Paul's teachings are ordinances, but they're not law. And they're not a list of do's and don'ts. These are the things that we can please God with. But if we do these things, we're going to suffer for it. We're going to suffer persecution for it. And these are the things that if we're going to do these things, we're going to have to sacrifice to do these things. But this is not God slapping us with a whip and saying, do this now, do that now. Paul is not the law. Newness of spirit. Along with doing the right thing comes prayer, comes tears, comes grace, comes long-suffering, comes patience. All this stuff fits in there. If we're not careful, as parents, we can turn our... I remember a family that got involved with this a while ago, and they came in just after we were done to the first part of Paul's doctrinal great stuff, and we were just starting to get into Timothy and Titus, and they came in and they saw, well, this is a whole different list of things that we should be doing and not doing compared to the Gospels. No, that's not what this is. This is not Paul's do or don't do list. We can't look at it that way. We've got people that are strong enough parents and happy enough parents and have enough money and they have enough control that everybody can be fine. If they'll follow the law, we have a solid law in our house. Well, that's not the way it goes. We're supposed to be in the newness of spirit. not in the oldness of the letter. So I'll keep that in mind when we're serving. What about music? Can we have grace to play this other stuff? Yeah, you can. All things are lawful. But is that music going to cause someone else to stumble? Is it a fleshy kind of music? Is it a power over you that you can't stop? Boy, if there's anything in our lives that is a power, it's music. Even good music can be bad. You can turn to music instead of your scriptures for comfort, for direction, and you find yourself, the devil still wins. He still keeps you out of that Bible. Anyway, get back on track here. Then Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, which is what we want to do. And the law of God, he cannot be referring to the law, Levitical law or the Ten Commandments, the law, because Christ took care of this. So we understand this from a Romans doctrinal foundation. The law of God is what God says. So we still serve the law of God. We still want to do what God says. And that's what Paul is all about. That's what Timothy and Titus are all about. Sound doctrine. We want to do that. But with the flesh, because you remember, we're cut away from our flesh. Spiritual circumcision. If you never heard spiritual circumcision taught, you need to learn it. Because it's foundational stuff. This is how Paul can serve the law with the mind, and yet with the flesh, he can serve the law of sin. We can still choose to follow sin. We're following our flesh. So we want to do the right thing, and Paul says, well, I want to do the right thing, but I can't do the right thing, blah, 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 goes through the whole list of stuff. And we understand the battle. That's our battle right there. Okay, let's go to Romans. Now let's get more specific here. Let's go to Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the risen Savior, and Paul says that right there, by the way. The Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. How do you go against somebody who gives a sermon with good words and fair speeches? You've got good words and fair sermons out there, but yet you know they're wrong by the scriptures. Well, he says that they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who are they that are such? Look at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's Paul. This is a tough one. So if you want to serve the risen Savior, you can't follow a local pastor who's not preaching Paul rightly divided. You can't. And it's really hard because these guys are preaching good words and fair speeches. But it's deceiving people. And these guys are not serving the Lord. They're serving their own belly. And I tell you, it's so hard for us to realize that. Not hard for me. I have no problem. But it seems to be harder and harder for people to look at these pastors and say, well, he said 80% of what he said was good stuff, but 20% was just downright lie. Okay, mark him and get out of there. This guy's not serving the risen Lord. That's tough for people. Anyway, we'll leave that one alone. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 13. Here's a tough one. Another tough one for us. I don't know why they're so tough for us. Well, I do, because we still want to have this happy life with friends and family and fellowship, don't we? It's easier for me to say this stuff, folks, because even though we don't have the adult friends and stuff that we used to have as we traveled around the country doing this stuff, I still got a bunch of little kids, kindergarten through eighth graders. They don't know diddly squat, and they're just... They love you for caring for them. And I can't teach them. It's like you've got little bitty friends that you really can't be close to, otherwise you start caring and it'll break your heart. We all have friends like that. That if we stayed with them, we know we're doing wrong. We can't say we're serving the Lord. How can you say this in Galatians 5:13? For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Okay, that's liberty. We have liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. There's one of the reasons all things are lawful, but we can't do it if it serves the flesh. And he says, but by love, serve one another. Now, here we come. This is a tough one. Because we're to serve one another. Each one of us on this list, we should serve each other. And we all have people out there that we know are Christians. We're supposed to serve them. But you know, we know that most of these people do not have Paul's teachings. And I know there has to be grace, there has to be mercy, there has to be long-suffering and patience. We've been over all this stuff, and we can't just draw the line right off the bat. But there comes a time where we're supposed to still, of the brethren, avoid. We're to mark them. We're to withdraw from them. We're to have no company with them. We're to neither give heed to some of these things. We're to purge. We're to reject. We're not to partake, but we are to mark them. So we serve one another. But we have to be willing to say to ourselves, wait a minute, I can't keep doing this for them or with them because it's wrong. And that's tough for us because we want friends. We want fellowship. We want a church to go to where we can have this, all this stuff for our kids. Our kids don't understand. Why don't they understand? They need to learn that if they're going to follow this Savior that they claim to have, here's how you follow him, and this is the way it's going to be. We need to teach them this stuff. They need to see it in our lives. Doesn't mean they're going to want it. But if we try to keep things going when they're little, so they still love us, we're going to lose them anyway. You got to stick to the truth. Serve one another. But there are those that sometime along the line, we have to quit serving them. Now, here's our classic verse, Colossians 3:24. Knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's Colossians 3:24. Let's go to there. Paul is very practical. Paul's teachings are very, what do they call that? The biblical counseling. We don't need biblical counseling. You know, how do we cope as we go through being a Christian in this world? Paul is very simple. Doesn't take any deep sermon. It's just, I've been doing this for years. We just need to remind ourselves what these scriptures say. There's no depth. There's no personality conflicts. There's no mental cases to deal with. We just obey the scriptures if we can, in newness of spirit, and we pray. And we have to realize that we are going to still follow sin because that's just what we do. Till the tribulation of people come along. And people that are preaching against Paul are not serving the Lord as they say they are. They may not know it, though. They're deceived and being deceived. We're to serve one another. Of course we are. But it comes a time we need to avoid and step away from them. And there we see we serve the Lord Christ, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. So we know that there's a reward behind all this stuff. Now this Colossians 3:24 thing, let's go back to verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, do in word, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now we're going to serve him, right? Okay. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in things, all things in your masters according to the flesh. Now, thy service is men serve. There it is. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And that's the risen Savior. Now, we go back and look at those things. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey. Fathers, provoke not. You know that our kids are going to get angry if we teach them the truth? Do you know that sometimes children really cannot, they dare not obey their parents because their parents ask them to do unbiblical, terrible things? You know that there are husbands that have horrible wives? You know that there are wives that have worthless little moronic little wimpy little men? Does that mean that we should still follow that stuff? You know, we won't take the time now, but you can go through the marriage things with Paul. You can go through the children thing. You can go through the fathers and the servants thing. There comes a time, avoid, mark, withdraw, have no company, neither give heed, purge, reject, be not partakers with, and mark them. Yeah, there's still that element in Paul. That's the part that Paul, people don't like about Paul. Paul tells us to have the love for everybody, but he says as much as it lieth within you, live peaceably with other people. The risen Savior says, listen, if this isn't going the way it ought to go, get out of there. People don't know that part of Paul. Like I said this morning, people take what we've learned in our past, our Baptist past or covenant past or our Lutheran past or our charismatic past, and we've been taught stuff. And we take this stuff we learned from Paul, we try to fit it into what we already know. We have to realize and remember, if we're going to despise, as it says in Acts 19, this modern religion stuff, we have to throw it out. You can't just suddenly get a hold of Paul and fit Paul into what you already know, because there's a lot of stuff that we knew and you know that you need to forget. Get out of there. Drop it. We can't mix it. We can't serve the Lord now, newly, and still serve Him the way we were in the past, because maybe the way we were in the past wasn't right. This is why I emphasize so much Paul only. Let's just zero in on Paul, and you'll see some things you'll have to relearn. A lot of things it causes wives to back off. It causes husbands to stand up with their Bible for a change. It causes the kids to think. Instead of being obedient to their parents, they start thinking, what is it that God teaches about this? Is there baptism? Should I do this? Should I go there? All these things. What church should I go to when I get to be old enough to make my choice? Do I go to this one because you've been here for 20 years? Do I go to this one because my wife has circle? Whatever they call those things. How do you serve the living God? Remember it says, follow Him where He is. He's the risen Savior. Learn from His words. Now, my favorite one is 1 Thessalonians 1:9. You want to serve the living and true God. That's the risen Savior, King James, rightly divided. That's how you do it. But I like this verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians, because it says here, For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. In other words, Paul's teaching has entered into these people's lives. And we see the changes. And how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was some action. Something changed in their lives. Do you think that if you've never heard of the Paul stuff beforehand, as Paul only and rightly dividing, that there's nothing in your life to change? You've been doing so good up to this point. Now you get to do even gooder. You can do life more perfectly. You've been doing really well. We got to turn to God. And he says that in Acts. I think it's Acts 26. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. We don't get turned under the power of God. We get turned unto God. And serving the living Savior is we've got to get rid of our idols. You got to think, well, what do I have for idols? Do I have any idols in my life? Well, sometimes we are our own idol. That's another sermon sometime. But there's a change that takes place. Should take place. And then lastly this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience. And again, he finishes up with that, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He reminds us to keep praying for people. And we serve him with pure conscience. How can we serve him with pure conscience? Are we living clean enough? Are we walking clean enough? Come on. Anybody out there thinks you're walking clean enough, you're a good enough parent, you're a good enough father, mother, and you're good enough, and you're good enough husband, wife, you're good enough Christian based on your walk? You must not have been studying Paul enough, because we can't do it. We try. And we should be able to do everything that Paul teaches us. There's nothing that Paul teaches us that we can't do. We just choose not to. And there's things in the Great Commission and in the Gospels that they were told to do that we can't do today. So we'll figure that one out. But we can serve him with a free conscience. Why? With a pure conscience. Why? Because he's made us free from sin. So we don't have to serve him with guilt. We don't have to serve him with fear. Serve him like Paul says, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience. So If you want to serve the Lord, you can serve Him with pure conscience if you study Paul. And you're going to have that deep conscience, not in your mind, but in your heart. And when you mess up, which we're going to do, you stand right up and keep going again. No confession, no fasting, none of that stuff is necessary anymore. The Christ, the risen Savior took care of all that. Open up that Bible and start looking at what Paul teaches more than anything else. Don't ignore the rest of the Bible. I don't teach that at all. But you can get your walking orders, marching orders from Paul. And it isn't all just do's and don'ts. Remember the manner of life that we went through that thing? I can't even remember all the things we did. You've got tears, you've got prayers, you've got mercy, long-suffering, patience. You've got doing the right things. It all comes rebuke, correction. The list is long. That's the manner of life we're supposed to live. So you want to serve the Lord? Serve the risen Savior according to Paul, his teachings. And Timothy and Titus are full of things we can do, but don't turn them into laws and rules and regulations. We can still spoil people. We can still make people hate the risen Savior. We need to learn what Christ did to us, what Christ did for us. Then you'll serve Him. Then you'll serve Him. When you realize what He did with the law, when you realize what He did with sin, when you realize what He did and what He still does, you'll serve Him a lot better. Not in the gospel manners, but in Paul's way. I'll let you all go. Bob had to take off, I see there. Let me turn off my thing here. I see Bob had to go, and you folks just take care of yourself this week and dig into that Paul stuff. Find some time to dig it in. And don't this world tear you down. Because it sure is after us, isn't it? It sure is. Devil's out there busy. He's not walking this earth yet, but he soon will be. We'll be gone. When he's down here, we'll be gone. In the meantime, our flesh is a problem. There you go, folks. So that's serving the risen Savior more perfectly. Look to Paul's teachings. Not John or James or Jude or Peter or Jesus himself and the teachings to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John out there. Get it from Paul.